You're listening to the Tech SEO Podcast with your hosts, Dan Taylor and Anisha Erdmain, bringing you the latest thoughts, opinions, and expert views from leading SEO professionals.
Hello and welcome to Technical SEO Podcast. This is Season 2, Episode 1, and today I am joined by Axel Hansen, who's Head of SEO at Visio. And this is probably the most ambitious recording we've done because Axel's actually joining me from Japan at the moment. Good morning or good evening, Axel.
Good evening, I'd say. It's around 7 p.m. right now.
Yeah, this is it's ambitious going the other way on the time zones. Yeah, thank you for joining us today on the Technical SEO Podcast.
Thanks for having me.
No worries, and also thank you for being the first guest on Season 2, which has been probably the longest hiatus between 1 and 2 we've had. So for those who don't know in the audience, do you want to just tell us a little bit about yourself and who Visio are?
Oh yeah, definitely. So, as you mentioned, my name is Axel Hansen, and I work as the head of SEO for a Swedish agency called Visio. We focus mostly on national clients in Sweden, but we're also slowly branching out for more and more international ones, particularly in the UK and US. On top of that, I run my own affiliate websites on the side, so I think I'm somewhat passionate about what I'm doing, like even on my spare time. So I think that's like solid introduction from me.
No, very very solid introduction, Axel. Thank you very much. So obviously it's October, and October's also famous for Halloween. So kind of building off the contributions you made to the Halloween blog posts I did, I think, as we kind of discussed before, this would be good to kind of go through some of the most common faux pas and issues and horrors that we kind of see in SEO, Working across nationals and internationals. So I know the contribution you gave us was around e-commerce, and where you basically had a large e-commerce store and your developers accidentally managed to block all bots. And then that kind of resulted in hemorrhaging of organic traffic and paid traffic. So if you'd like to kind of give us a bit more insight into that and how you overcame that and how long it took to recover, that'd be great.
Yeah, well, this happened around, I think, 2 months ago. And basically what happened was that the e-commerce platform provider, it's a Swedish one, but think like similar to Shopify. They decided to improve their platform without proper QA testing, which resulted in all the pages rendering just fine, but returning the dreaded status code 500. And since all the pages were actually rendered fine, no one actually noticed it until Google Ads started turning off all the clients' ads, since the destination pages didn't work for it. I'd spent quite a few minutes just trying to figure out like why it wasn't working for everyone, since it was working visually, but not for Google. And there's a lot of reasons what could actually happen. I mean, it could be like, for example, just blocking up the IP address is quite a normal one. But what I did was that I can give as a tip as well. It's just, if you don't have access to the Google Search Console, for example, mm-hmm. if you're looking at competitors, you can use like Google Insights to get like response and render from Google. By using this, I found out that the page couldn't be viewed because of server error 500, which made me look at the HTTP headers, which confirmed my suspicions. So I'm not entirely sure what change they did actually caused this. But like the moral of the story, I'd say, is like, don't push out changes without notifying your clients that you've done so. Especially if you haven't tested it properly beforehand. and of course monitor everything. In this particular case, I mean, we could have and especially should have been more proactive. We should have caught this before Google went mental and started sending a shitload of messages.
Okay, do you know roughly what the kind of turnaround time was from a platform pushing the change to when Google knows it? Because I know you just said you've been, like, obviously you've been, part of your feedback is you could have been more proactive, but what I'm trying to gauge is, did they make the push, say, midday on Monday, and at 6 p.m. Monday, Google had already kind of started panic mode, or was it a bit more
like that? Yeah, well, Google started warning us on, I'd say, like, Friday. And the change was pushed out on Monday. So, I mean, it had gone like a full work week before even Google took notice. That's just 5 days too long. So the problem was that since it returned that server, it wasn't just Google Ads turning the ads off. It was also the organic traffic starting to drop. So like during the weekend, I was in contact with the web developers, and I think it took them like another 4 or 5 days before it actually got fixed. So it became a huge problem for almost 2 weeks, which obviously affected the sales for the clients quite a bit.
Yeah, I know in the contribution you submitted for blog post, you said it was about a 40% decrease in organic traffic. Did that recover once the push had been laid out, or is it still on the recovery road?
It's still on the recovery road, but like I have a lot to say about this provider, because after that they managed to mess up the href length tags, so we had another issue coming in just after. We've fixed everything now and we are starting to recover, and it's noticeable, but we're still a bit far off until we're back to where we were before.
Wow, that is really a moral of the story is, don't be on a platform where developers could go rogue.
Oh yeah, definitely. Like if they have had just notified that they were pushing out a new flight and like saying what they have actually done, I mean, this could have been hopefully discovered a lot sooner.
I mean, there's obviously we're not naming platforms, but we've all probably had experience of platforms not being great. I mean, I was working with a large education institution who were using a platform, and it was a case of they had both protocols are open. So one of the easiest fixes was obviously to use the self-referencing canonical to try and keep HTTPS in, and it was 8 months change log just to implement canonicals across websites for the platform. And that was 2017, so I'm not going to count that as being a new or kind of experimental feature, to be honest. So thank you. So another story which you said you want to speak about was one submitted by Svante Hansen, which was part of the fintech actual posts,
and that was
a caching solution that appears to have gone wrong.
Yeah, well, it's that story is quite fun just because it's about my own website. So what we basically did was that we had implemented a caching solution the previous year, and like we ran a lot of tests. I mean, it works fine. I mean, we could have thousands of concurrent users running. I mean, it's brilliant. But the problem is that my twin, who's a developer by heart, he forgot to turn off the cache expiration, which meant that slowly it was just eating up all the space on the hard drive. And we noted since when we were logged in, we didn't hit the cache, so we never noticed it until I was looking at arefs and I saw like a decrease of like 40% of the traffic just overnight, and we checked Google Analytics and we had like 2 visitors the previous day instead of thousands like we usually do, and it's like something's wrong. So yeah, well, basically what happened was, like, once it hit 100% usage, the website decided it just didn't want to live anymore. So I basically sent my twin to, like, panic mode. Okay, you gotta fix this, figure it out, and fix it now.
Yeah, and they did, sound good.
But like, that was just like a silly mistake that I'd say I'll, like, chalk it up as, like, shit happens. We've learned at least something from it.
No, but at least it was rectifiable, like you said. So once that was rectified, then did it return to BAU traffic, etc., or was it quite a lengthy recovery period?
I think it was just like a week and we were back 100% again. So, I mean, in that sense, we were quite lucky, but we still had quite a bit of revenue going down during June just because of the website basically not working for a week.
Yeah, no, 100%. That's understandable. So kind of going through, like, a lot of the Halloween submissions that I kind of received, and I know that you read over a handful as well. A lot of the main themes that kind of came through were, and not putting your twin in a spotlight, but were developers pushing things about correct QA, people making, or developers coming up with solutions without fully understanding impacts around things. So
yeah,
kind of be interesting, obviously, with your experience at Visio. What would you say just listeners out there, on how to actually go about implementing sort of QA workflows from an SEO perspective? Because obviously a QA workflow from a dev perspective is, if I flick light switch, just like turn on, yes, no. Whereas obviously we need to think then about the brightness of a light, whether or not it flickers, dimmers, everything else. So what kind of advice would you give there?
I mean, like, especially if you're dealing with, for example, a site migration or a new website or something, like, you really need to, like, save all the data from the previous website. I mean, you should have, like, Screaming Frog saved up. I mean, just monitoring it always, because hopefully you'll never need that data, but, like, once you do, you'll be glad that you have it. Because usually a lot of, like, these common mishaps with, like, hreflangs, canonicals, like, no index, I mean, it's usually like a human prone error. So I mean, it happens. So you just need to, like, stay vigilant and try to, like, at least have a, like, internal check for yourself on, like, what are the most be looking at, because checklist that's thousands of lines long, but might just only make 10 of those that's actually important.
Yeah, so it's important to keep regular checkpoints, and as you said, if checklists are massively long, they become unmanageable. So even potentially automate the most key ones and keep a backlog of the data.
Exactly.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for your time, Axel. So just quickly, where can people find you online?
I don't know. I'm really bad at, like, keeping a, like, online persona. but I'd say just looking me up on LinkedIn, or just going to our company's website, visio.se. Easy to get in touch with me there. I'm also very active in the big SEO Slack community as one of the administrators. So if you want to speak to me more personally, just join it and, like, DM me. We'll have a chat.
Awesome. I'll put a link to the big SEO Slack group in the description of a podcast as well for people who want to find it there. So brilliant. Thank you very much for your time, Axel, and enjoy the rest of your evening in Japan.
Yeah, definitely. And have a lovely day now in K.
Thank you very much.